Representative Bowles and Representative Alonzo Leon is running a smidge late.
And Representative Vile.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone order. Likes to smell my teeth.
Okay, work session. It's now about 15:09 a.m. My hope is that we'll adopt an amendment and send it to rules to rest for a while.
How long? Hopefully not too long.
At least 3 weeks.
If it does.
I think it's only two is left, potentially, Cedric.
That was the point.
Three feels like overkill.
That bad.
Can I have a motion?
Chair Greenlink, I would like to move that the committee adopt the -A4 amendments to Senate Bill 1509, dated February 26, 2018, authored by yours truly.
First, I have notes moved. We adopt the A4 amendments to Senate Bill 1509. Tell us about the bill.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs, members of the committee, the -A4 amendment replaces the measure. The amendment repeals preemption of local government regulation of idling of primary engines in commercial vehicle. It narrows the idling restrictions for commercial vehicles waiting to load or unload by applying restrictions to vehicles with a gross weight of more than 26,000 pounds. Starting January 1st, 2020, removes idling exemption currently in statute for commercial vehicles with a gross weight of more than 26,000 pounds that idle for the purposes of air conditioning or heating during a rest or sleep period, and the amendment establishes a new exemption for idling the primary engine of commercial vehicles that are certified by a manufacturer and demonstrate compliance with the idling emission standard with a sticker.
The staff did a really good job of summarizing the amendment, Mr. Chair.
All right.
Better than I would have done.
Is there any discussion on the motion to amend the bill?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Greenlink. I'll be voting no. I'm disappointed that my understanding is there is a consensus on the base bill, and now this is becoming once again a contentious amendment. It seems to be the theme of this legislative session. I'm just sorry to see it happen once again.
Is there any other discussion on the motion?
I attempted to reply, but I'm not going to. Let's just vote.
Aye.
Representative Vile?
No.
Representative Malmstrom?
Aye.
Representative Kittimer?
No.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Bueller?
No.
Representative Alonzo Leon?
Yes.
Representative Bowles?
No.
Vice Chair Nose?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hayden?
No.
Chair Greenland?
Aye. Motion carries. I have another motion.
Chair Greenlink, I would like to move that Senate Bill 1509A, as amended, be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the House Committee on Rules.
The House moves that Senate Bill 1509A be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the House Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Yes, sir.
So, thank you, Chair Greenlink. One of the concerns that I had with this bill, as we left here and rushed out of here Friday to go down to provide what we call our street clinic or our free dental medical clinic, I took a video of it and actually sent it to Rep. Rob Nose and said, we're serving the homeless population here, which we do almost on a weekly basis. Would your bill interfere with the ability for those types of operations that go in and set up homeless camps, store food, and provide critical services in times of needs be affected? My concern is, and his answer was, well, I hope not, but I don't know.
You assured me you had an engine that was
said that
newer
correctly.
Than 2007.
Well, the current unit I was so was an engine that was 2012. That's true. But my concern is with the removal of the preemption regulation in the -4, one of the reasons I came to this body was House Bill 3139 back in 2015 that I think passed unanimously was the ability to provide these services when a municipality decided that they didn't want to treat that population within their city limits, which I disagreed with and appealed in two different municipalities three times each, failed, came here, and that one of those clinics now crisscrosses the state, is currently in Springfield, providing those services. So I'm just concerned, maybe this is a niche, but I'm concerned that with the preemption that these types of regulations could come into play that inhibit barriers to critical services.
Any other discussion?
Chair Greenlee.
Yes.
I'll just say, you know, no offense to the work that the Senate did on the bill that they sent us, but I had a bill that's still sitting in rules that dealt with idling and a lot of other things around diesel. And I just want to say that other counties and public health advocates and environmental justice organizations feel like the amendment that we just put into Senate Bill 1509 is really more in keeping with the things they think we need to do just on the idling question. So maybe if the bill gets a hearing and rules, we can try to figure out if Representative Hayden's concern is going to be a problem and figure that out. And maybe look at the more comprehensive bill that's also down in rules and this one too.
Okay, any other discussion?
President Vial.
Representative Vial.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like Representative Bueller mentioned, I frankly am voting no on this simply because I have not had time to really come to appreciate what the amendment means. I was encouraged that we had a consensus bill that was coming to us, and I think that represented a lot of work between various parties. Representative Nose may be right, but I have not had time to really satisfy myself, and for that reason, I'll be a no on the bill.
Okay, any other discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Representative Salinas?
Aye.
Representative Vial?
No.
Representative Maelstrom?
Aye.
Representative Kettlemer?
No.
Representative Penny-Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Bueller?
No.
Representative Alonzo Leon?
Aye.
Representative Bowles?
No.
Vice Chair Nose?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hayden?
No.
Chair Greenland?
Aye. Motion carries. Bill is on its way to rules. Close the work session on House Bill 1509. Hey, Dan, I need to be cautious because the last time we got into this topic, I got into a little trouble. So I was trying to be a little cautious. But it just seems. I think this is the worst session that I've been in for everything turning into party line votes. And I'm not sure what I can do to. To help it, I will try to work in the 2019 session if my constituents are wise enough to send me back to see if we can figure out how to not make things automatically turn into. I mean, we didn't have a consensus bill before. I didn't like the bill because I didn't think it did anything. And now there'll be people who won't, it's not a consensus bill because they think it does too much. But it's odd to me how things slip into straight party line votes on bills that seem pretty innocuous to me. When I was in my freshman term, I passed a bill. I passed 32-28, and the 32 had 18 Republicans and 14 Democrats. It seems to me. We ought to be able to do that a little more often. I'm not sure why we can't. In the meantime, we're adjourned today. We're back tomorrow.
Can I make a suggestion?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think it needs to be this way. I think there's a lot of issues that we should have broad consensus. I think one example was the high cost of prescription drugs. You know, I knew better than to put my own bill in, so I worked hard to have an amendment, didn't really have any meaningful discussion. And then this weekend, here's a suggestion, operational suggestion. I looked at all the bills that we had here before the Healthcare Committee this legislative session, 15 that had significant hearings. There wasn't a single bill out of those 15 that I would classify as a Republican bill. Now, there was three that had some Republican names on it, but they were token names at best. So it'd be nice to have at least a couple Republican bills that had meaningful hearings here, even if there's no chance of them moving forward, it'd be nice to have a hearing of them.
But did you see what the Republican bills were that didn't get a hearing? I mean, the only ones that really didn't get a hearing are ones that were clearly incendiary.
Well, I don't see the bills I had as incendiary.
And
I don't see the amendments that I had, that which I spent months preparing for this legislative session, you know, didn't even get a discussion. So those are the types of things.
You didn't see any of your work in the 4018? I mean, no. I tried hard to put 3 of the 4 ideas came from you.
They weren't there, not the five amendments I had. I didn't see a single one in there. Go back and look at the 5 amendments I had for that. Yeah, and there's nothing incendiary about it. I spent months getting consensus, talking to people, doing the due diligence, talking to the original people who developed the CCL concept. You know, yeah, were they perfect? No. Could they have had better fine tuning through this process? Absolutely. But you know, that's what creates the divisiveness.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I'll take some ownership in that.
Yeah. As the newcomer, certainly on this committee, and admittedly, as I've expressed many times, lacking a lot of understanding about the issues that we're dealing with, I can tell you, for me, it is process. It's not like I'm voting because I don't want the other side to win, because most of the time the other side's gonna win, and so that's sort of inevitable. This session, I have voted no more times than I wanted to, because I just didn't feel like we had had enough time to discuss something, that we really hadn't engaged in true analysis of the issue to the point that I could feel comfortable casting a yes vote, even on something that maybe appears innocuous and maybe if I knew more would be. But I did not feel like I had time, and that is just the reality of what I've been experiencing. And I appreciate your indulgence in letting me say that.
Cameron, you have a comment on this? You're the oldest hand around. I mean, you've been here the longest.
Not quite the oldest, but
the oldest.
You got me beat barely. But I'm going to be leaving. And, you know, I guess there are a number of things that come to my mind. One is this short session. I really think that this session has been allowed to get out of hand. 256 bills, I'm not quite sure how many of them were considered, but it's a huge portion of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, for example, the one we just dealt with, I would really like to have had the time to have had some good discussions with some people about diesel idling. I have a diesel car. You know, but that's about the limit of my knowledge. And we were so rushed, there wasn't time to get enough information on a lot of things to get comfortable with it, or to have an amending process. Ordinarily in the longer sessions, we have time to stew about this, ask our questions, work with people to see if there's some kind of common ground that can be found. And this session has been the worst yet of the short sessions. And I look, you know, 15 bills is a lot to consider in essentially a maximum of 2 short hearings each.
23 bills.
Well, 23, thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just, you know, and then the other thing that I have found across the years is the advantage of having time is that the word gets out and you get more and more information. I'm always amazed in the long session how the testimony that's given towards the end of the session in the opposite house is often remarkably different, because new people have found out about a bill they didn't know about. And the short time, I don't think, gives an opportunity for us to have a full hearing and have full awareness, as long as we're going to deal with in some instances, pretty major stuff. You know, as I recall, and I did a little remonstrance about this, and I was a proponent, and I regret supporting the short session, because we were supposed to do technical correction, minor adjustments, and budget adjustments. I'm not sure where this bill fits exactly, But some of the bills have been a long ways from any of those three criteria.
Well, my impression was, I mean, an example of the bill was the 4018 bill, the CCO bill, where we literally worked on all of the 2017 session and then brought it back literally for what did seem like a finishing of something. And sometimes it felt to me, and I spent two terms in the minority, where I felt my job was to try and make bills better, and then, I mean, I passed, 14 bills out of the two minority sessions that I served on. But sometimes it seemed to me that I have an idea for a bill, you have an idea for a bill. My idea didn't get in the bill, but if it didn't get in the bill, then I'm against it. It's not, is it okay in its own right? I mean, it seems to me that consideration is never made. But I may just misreading it. But I say it's not that good as I get this all. So.
Well, if I could some more, as long as we're talking about it, you know, I guess I hearken back 30 years ago when I served in the Senate. Things were remarkably different, and I think in some ways better. We certainly had our ugly partisan moments, but we also spent a lot of time socializing and getting acquainted. And we used to have fervent discussions, fervent is perhaps a good word, about bills. And I can remember hundreds of times, oh, well, what don't you like about this bill? And someone would explain it, and I'd say, well, you know, and I'd try to understand it, and either way it was going, we'd say, well, if we took that out, would you be okay? And there was a huge amount of discussion of these, other than in the very limited hearing, when there were time pressures and a difficulty in getting to some kind of yes. I think the shortness makes getting to yes very difficult, because you don't have a full level of comfort, or at least, and I'm not sure that's not the right word, you don't have a good enough level of comfort. Sometimes it's hard to get comfortable, but I just think, you know, particularly in the short session, it's there. And the other side of it is I think we've made the mistake of becoming very partisan in the whole process. And that's very unfortunate. In fact, it's probably one of the predominant reasons for my decision not to return, is I'm not an equal member in this body. And my constituents aren't getting equal representation, is how I personally feel. And I feel insulted, and I feel deprived of the opportunity to do what I think is my responsibility, just to be really out there.
Well, I'm hoping that...
Let me add one more thing. And I would say, in fairness, you're one of the fairest chairs that I have dealt with. I did not mean that as a personal comment, but I got to say, there are some other times when it's pretty horrific around here.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I don't want you, Mitch, to take any of this as personal. Of all the chairs I've been associated, you're the most fair and the most consensus-driven. So I'm sorry if my comments are focused here, but it's not a personal intention.
I didn't take it that way. It's something in the process that's happened.
Yes,
we need to figure out. I need to figure out how to make it different from this committee if I'm back as the chair. If Rob hasn't managed to get rid of me as the chair, I'm trying to figure out how to deal with it. I think it's an important thing to deal with.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to monopolize this, but you know, I talked about, you
this
know...
This is your going away speech.
Well, I'm hoping not. But it is of sorts, because I'd like to think that those 19 years I learned some things that are worth sharing. But you know, for example, with the advanced directive bill, to have a hearing that lasted, two hearings that lasted a total of, 50 some minutes for a major bill, and what a shame and a tragedy in my mind to send a bill out that came out in both houses on a partisan vote. I just think there's something fundamentally questionable about that as a result. And I guess another thing that I think is increasingly we are on agendas here instead of, I think my job as a representative is to try and find governmental action that is mainstream, that protects those on the left and protects those on the right, but is mainstream. And I find myself voting different from my personal views a lot because I think I need to help get us into that middle ground where the vast majority of us are comfortable and without offense, hopefully, to those at either side of that. And increasingly, my view, as I said in a newsletter not too long ago, 15% on the left are being very well served in the controversial issues, and the rest not so well. And I think that balance is missing.
Yeah, sometimes we have to think about interest groups that push us one way or the other.
Well, I guess. And that we're all guilty, or at least I'm going to plead guilty.
Tomorrow we're meeting for, Wednesday we're meeting for perhaps an hour in joint session next door in hearing room F with the Senate committee or some of the Senate committee to look at how things are moving in the OREB-PEB merger recommendations. It should take less than an hour for that.
Okay, and we have two public hearings afterwards. We'll probably need the full 3 to 5.
Oh, they're going to be the public hearings are going to be Wednesday.
On Wednesday afterwards, yes.
Okay, great.
And then anything after that? Scheduled after that?
There's been a request for another public hearing, an informational hearing that we might move. Isn't that right?
I have not heard anything about that as of this morning, so I will check with you and confirm that.
I think somebody has asked this.
We've had a few requests, but nothing okay. Been confirmed yet.
There's always May.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
We are adjourned.